Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Wrestling song parody. This is where I do a wrestling song parody. It's really hard to come up with them week in, week out.
You try it. You didn't want to do Bray Wyatt's song?
I don't even remember it.
It sounds like a little kid's jingle.
I refuse.
Boom.
How's that? As much as I enjoyed that segment, never mind. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Hal Royal Rumblin' Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Kelking Experience, Lindsay Kelk.
That's me.
And Road Warrior Danimal, Danielle Radford.
Oh, hello.
And our special guest, the second half of the How to Wrestling podcast, it's Joe!
Hi.
Joe Graham! Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Well, of course. Now, of course, we had your partner, Kevin, on the show a couple weeks ago. We discussed how your show got started, but I want to hear your side of how you got into wrestling fandom.
Oh, no, it's really embarrassing. I got into wrestling just so I could bond with Kevin, literally. When we first met and started dating, he was really secretive about the fact that he even watched wrestling.
Fair.
So, and when I found out that he watched this wrestling thing, I was like, this seems really interesting and I want in on it. And he refused to help me. And so I just had to go to Google and try and work out, you know, Google, what is wrestling? Doesn't really tell you much.
No.
Eventually, I managed to like wrangle the information out of him, and I bought my own like Mick Foley DVD to like impress him with all my mankind knowledge. Eventually, I even managed to convince him to start a podcast with me for other people who want to get into wrestling and don't know how to do it. And thus, How to Wrestling was born.
So the opposite experience of a girl wrestling fan trying to make her non-wrestling fan partner be involved. It was literally a physical fight to make Jeff come to any event with me, and then eventually now he's like the biggest fan in the world. It's like so the opposite. I'm so jealous of you,
Joe. I'm only dating Marks. That's from here on in.
It's not worth it.
You have to. Like, as soon as you're a wrestling fan, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm part of this universe now. If you're not a Mark, we can't make this happen.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Yeah, no, it's like being part of the same cult. Like, I'm not, yes. I don't have time to feed you why my God is your God now.
Yeah. I have time to explain all of the words I'm going to use on a daily basis that make no sense to anyone else.
Yeah, your life is ruined now.
It really
you
is Scientology.
You have a relationship with your family or friends.
Yeah. Look, this is why I started my new app, MarksOnly.com, where Marks can meet one another in a safe, welcoming environment, and then date.
Oh, you don't have
if
to
you
be
love
lonely.
Bumps and bruises, come to Marks Only.
That's right. Marks Only is a wholly owned subdivision of Hal Lublin's brain. Joe, I'm wondering what you said you were like kind of intrigued when you initially encountered wrestling, but before you started looking it up, what was it? Do you remember the specific thing that sort of caught your fancy and made you go, I kind of want to learn more?
Yes. I saw a GIF of, I can't even remember which wrestling maneuver this is. I still don't know the names of any moves, really.
Same sometimes. It's fine.
That's good then. I saw this particular GIF of a wrestling maneuver that involved a guy being like put on his back, like onto his opponent, and then they gently kissed. To this day, I don't know what it's from, but the caption was, "This is wrestling." I was like, this is wrestling. Interesting. And then I saw the Shield, and then immediately I was like, okay, I have to get involved in this.
Oh, yeah.
I support this.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Shield later on. But, you know, let's get into it. And folks, just when you thought we were already shook up plenty, WWE had some more things to keep shaking. We're shaking and baking all over the place this week. We're going to start with Raw, where we were greeted by a long-lost star of WWE, none other than Bray Wyatt.
Did you miss me? So, how I have missed you. But I knew that we would be back together again someday. I saw it in my dreams. This is the Firefly Funhouse. And my name is Bray Wyatt. Yowie wowie! We're gonna have so much fun here!
I hope he's gonna say yowie wowie every week.
Yeah. I need it. Yeah. I need it on a shirt.
That's the shirt.
Yes.
Yowie wowie.
Is it odd that I watch this and I'm intrigued? I love the puppets. Yep. Everything about it is like just the right balance of creepy. My tweet that did not get enough love was that was that he had brought back Wonder Chosen, which I guess people don't remember that show.
But, oh, Wonder Chosen.
Right?
Oh. Yes.
That's what this felt like. But I also have no desire to see this character wrestle a match.
No.
But I want to see more.
I want to see more of this and then less of it.
Maybe he could have his own like segment where he does like a talk show style thing, like the Kevin Owens show equivalent.
Mm. Yeah, but it's like this same kids kind of talk show, kind of Pee Wee Herman-y distorted thing. This is so perfect for his character. He's always been about like, look, much like Wu-Tang, Bray Wyatt has always been about the children. Mm-hmm. He's always been about the kids and trying to corrupt the kids. And so for me, this is like a perfect extension of that character.
Yeah, I'm just in it for the puppets. I love a puppet. So it works for me.
I wish he'd go creepier with it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, and again, I got to stop doing that, but I'm hoping that it's eventually going to slide into the creepiness. So like this was like the beginning.
Yeah, it's going to get darker, right?
And it's going to get darker and they're going to pepper in the creepiness. But like, who knows?
Mm.
Those are just my hopes.
It does feel like they need to set something up to pay it off. Sort of like they did with KO this week. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. As well. But also, speaking of new characters, Sami Zayn on fire, keeps cutting these brilliant promos.
I love him so much, I named one of my children in Stardew Valley after him.
You did?
I did.
Sammy or Zane?
Zammy.
Aww.
Zammy. Of course.
I love it. I want to see him skank on his side all day long. Like when he's dancing so crazy, he just goes to the floor. And I'm like, yes, yes, I support this. But again, another excellent piece of character work that doesn't involve wrestling.
But
skanking is the most heel dance move you can do.
Yes, 100%. 100% agreed. Hard agree.
Everybody, all the heels gather at Hoobastank concerts and just go crazy with one another.
It's so offensive.
I'm still so upset that I know how they got their name, and it makes me really angry.
You do?
Hoobastank got their name because they used to joke every time someone farted on the tour bus, whose butt stinks?
No.
And that became Hoobastank. And now I know it, and now all of you know it, and you can't unknow it.
I hate it.
Yeah. Hate set.
Sorry, Joe. This is what I do to people that I love.
You know, I was having a good 24 hours between getting to go see a screening and the Sixers moving on in the playoffs. And now all of that has been erased with the origin story of Hoobastank's name.
It's worse than a Thanos. That was
worse.
You're worse than Thanos.
Can somebody snap their fingers and make that memory turn into dust? For God's sakes.
Anyway, Sami Zayn's great.
But Sami's somebody who, I'll ask the three of you this. Do you feel like he's a guy who should sooner rather than later be challenging a Seth Rollins for the title?
I always do. I have always thought that Sami Zayn, there is no good excuse for him to not be in the main event picture. That's exactly what he should do. He shouldn't come back and just suddenly start mid-carding. We know he will end up there eventually, so why not give him a good 2 months of good stories?
Yeah, and that match,
totally
those matches would be so good.
Fire!
Yeah, I don't want to see Baron Corbin. I don't want to see AJ again. I'm like, I would like to see something fresh and new and interesting. And if Sammy and Seth isn't that, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it does seem like Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank outside of the Punk match is rarely about the titles and the time the titles were actually on the line in 2014.
Yep.
It's generally about who's going to get the briefcase.
Yeah.
So everything else is filler.
It's filler.
I'd rather have Baron Corbin in the filler role than put, because if you put Sami Zayn there, then you're saying,
let's have Sami win the briefcase. I want to see him skank with that briefcase.
Yeah. Oh,
let's have him skanking around with a briefcase.
Put a checkerboard pattern on the briefcase. What do you think, Joe?
I think, yeah, absolutely. Have him win it, but then have him hate it and hate himself.
Oh, my God. Self-loving Sami is the best thing.
Who do you like for a women's Money in the Bank winner?
I don't know.
Who would you put it on?
Oh, that's so difficult. And I especially find it like hard because ultimately with the Money in the Bank, I don't care really who has it. And that's really bad. And I don't know if it's because I'm still a newish fan, but like most of the time I don't really mind, like with the exception of Sammy, of course, who I just wanted to have it, like I said, so he can hate himself. So I don't even know.
I think it's almost more important for you as a newer fan that it's their responsibility. It's not on you to be interested. Yeah. It's on them to make you interested.
Yeah.
Like people who like us who have been like shit posting about wrestling for years and are constantly like, you're not second guessing, but you're trying to figure out sort of the why you do stuff. Then it's, well, who's getting the briefcase and why are they going to elevate them and how do you build
and
them up?
And the story that they tell with it can vary so wildly. Yes. Like you can get the result that you want and then they just tell a terrible story with it. And you're like, oh, I wish they hadn't won, actually.
Yes.
I love the briefcase so much. To me, it's the biggest chess piece in WWE because it's the one moving piece that can have ripples for up to a year.
Yes.
And it makes them have to plan, in theory, that far ahead to deal with this. And that's why I find it so fascinating. It has so many implications across every brand. You're putting such a major thing on one person that could go anywhere, do anything. Could be WrestleMania next year. Could be the next week. Could be SummerSlam. You just never know, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, it could be on any... And that, I mean, you know, that is... was, we'll see, the fun of the tag championships for women was the idea of being able to bounce around wherever and see where that takes you.
Yeah. But still briefcase, yay.
Yeah. Still briefcase, yay!
We love briefcases. We love them in general.
I do. I do love a briefcase.
Yeah. Call it same.
Let's talk about some more of the new faces of Raw. Samoa Joe was finally confirmed to be on Raw, and his first act was to have a match against AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio to compete for the number one contendership. Of course, AJ Styles wins that match.
Yeah.
Goes on to wrestle Seth Rollins, which feels like it'll be a good match, but I don't know that he was the most interesting choice. Do you all agree?
Yeah, he's not. It's just padding, right? It's just, oh, look, AJ's here now. We have to put him in a title match because he's here now.
I feel like this is supposed to be a dream match, but it's not mine.
No.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and AJ just doesn't feel like the challenger.
No.
I don't, but again, this is a filler match. Yeah. So maybe that's like, we're getting that out of the way. We know AJ's here. We know he should be in the main event. We know he should
grow his beard in or shave it off. That's what we know. Whatever this in-between nonsense is, I'm not having it.
I've seen him without the beard.
He needs to grow it in.
Yeah.
Seth without the beard or AJ without the beard?
Either.
AJ.
But
yeah, AJ without the beard looks like his face got stung by bees.
Shudder.
Also in this thread, the other triple threat match was the Miz against Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin, and then AJ Styles beats Baron Corbin.
I'm shrugging and no one can see that because it's a podcast. I feel bad about it, but it made me shrug.
I don't know what they do with face Miz. He's great. I'm a fan of his no matter what he does. But I look at it and go, well, where do you go from here?
Right.
Do you put him in a feud with Samoa Joe?
I think Miz is someone who doesn't. I do think he's reached that point where he's transcended the need for a belt all the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think he just needs a really strong program, and I don't know who that's against right now. I guess you could. I don't recommend it. You could go Sammy Miz, in that Miz has embraced his audience and his fans, and Sammy is rejecting the audience and the fans. So you could that do something could there, and they would be fun to work together.
Yeah. Great promos.
But yeah, right?
Great
promos. It would be some real interesting Miz TV, but I want Sammy in that title picture. But I don't know. I really don't know. We talked about this a little bit last week. I'm really into the shakeup because I don't know where everything's going, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's nice. Sure. It's nice to go into something without having an exact idea of what everything's going to be, except that Raw's TNA now.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah. Yes. I hope they change their name to that. It used to be Raw's War.
Raw's
now
Impact.
Raw's TNA. Yeah. Raw's Impact. There's a certain point in time where I go from being interested to see what they're going to do to tapping my foot and going, why aren't they doing anything? Mm-hmm. I think as fans, we have a short amount of tolerance for them to figure things out.
Yep.
It's not like they necessarily have to make last-minute decisions to switch people, though I'm sure that they do, and I know that they have, sending people back and forth in brands so they can stay with their significant others. Mm. Which is
allegedly.
Nice.
Allegedly.
Supposedly. Well, also, there haven't just been shakeups on the roster. There's been shakeups in the writer's room, too, right? There's been some ins and outs. Boo. Boo earns.
Boo earns.
So I think that's probably had an impact on storylining because presumably people that were working on things are no longer working on them. And
give Dave Schilling a job.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Hashtag hire Dave Schilling.
Yeah. So that's not great for moving things along.
True. Well, let's move ourselves along right now and stick to the world title picture.
Good work, Helen.
Thank you. Kofi Kingston had a match with Shinsuke Nakamura. Of course, came out on top, but... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
If sorry to spoil this for everyone. You are not going to believe what happened next.
No, what?
Kevin Owens turned on his friends.
No.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
He turned on the New Day. Here's a clip. You're not going to believe it. You have to hear it.
It's against the skirt. Ah, I hope your kids had a good time. I hope you had a good time. Because I'm coming for this. And I'm taking it from you. Kofi Kingston standing up to Kevin Owens, but it's KO now. Who's turning around on the champion?
Kofi trusted this man. That was Kofi's fault.
I rarely agree with Graves. But
you knew.
Like, it was good.
Just because you guys play video games together in the back, don't mistake that for friendship.
You knew I was a Scorpion when you gave me the ride.
Oh, so
you knew. You knew.
So good.
I hope that this is an all-summer program. I think it could be.
Yes, this goes all the way to SummerSlam for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just... him saying, I hope your kids had a good time beating the crap out of their dad. What a heel.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
You know how they mic up athletes for sporting events, like, or they mic up like the coach and they go, we're going to mic'd up. And then you hear, all right, everybody dig. They should mic up Kevin Owens all the time for everything.
Yes.
Yeah. He should just be on a constant mic.
He's constantly every time. And like half the time people don't catch it, but he is always saying the most amazing things.
So good.
It blows my mind that English is a second language for him. And that he learned it in, what, the last 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
And it's bonkers.
He speaks it better than most people
God,
in America,
Sammy, too.
Including me. Yeah.
Sammy, too. It's also his second language.
Is it
or
really?
Or maybe third. He speaks a lot of languages, is my understanding. Yeah. You know, ska is its own language. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Stop it, stop it, stop it. No, I don't like it. No, it made me so happy. And, I mean, the only thing that makes me sad is that we're not going to get to hear him do the New Day intro ever again, because that was, but we will always have that one, and
you know,
it just
what?
Was so glorious.
Oh, I don't know if I want him to do it again. Honestly, I don't think he did that great a job.
Oh my god, like, I loved it.
It made me miss Big E a lot. It's like, oh, that's actually a really difficult thing you're trying to do there. Really appreciate the talent required.
I feel like he was supposed to miss Big E, but I still thought he did a fine job. And he ate the pancakes.
He did eat the champion.
I love Kevin Owens.
If you're at a show, I can't say this enough. Don't eat the pancakes when they throw them in.
Why would you?
Don't.
No. Good Lord, don't eat those pancakes.
We had that firsthand from a Mr. Mike Eagle that told us not to eat the pancakes because he had some insider knowledge on the pancakes. They're not fresh.
Yeah, they're not getting them from catering. They're like, all right, we just made you these 900 pancakes.
Do you reckon it's the job of a poor referee somewhere to cook all those pancakes? It's not even in catering.
I reckon it's the job of whoever Vince sees on the way in and says, go to IHOP and buy 900 pancakes 4 days previously and then carry them around in your own car. I think that's his job.
Vince, can I have the company? No, you can't have the company card.
You can expense it. You'll get it back in 6 months. That's what happens. That's what happens.
We're behind on invoices.
Yeah. Do you have the tax receipt? No, you're not getting it back.
God, for the love of God. All right, two other new stars on Raw. Cesaro beat Cesaro.
Cesaro.
Sorry, I'm still processing a lot of things. Anyway,
I'm wearing a Cesaro shirt.
I know you are wearing a Cesaro shirt.
You're looking directly at me.
Not anymore. I refuse.
It does.
I'm going to put the script in front of you, so now I can't. Now you're just a script with feet.
It's all I've ever wanted.
Anyway, whatever his name is, Claudio beat Cedric Alexander in their first match on Monday night. We also had the newly renamed Viking Raiders beat down the Lucha House Party. What do you think they're going to be called next week?
The Raiders Experience.
No!
The Experience Raiders. I feel like you just keep going until they settle on something.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep going. Change every week. For lols.
I'm still firmly in the belief that their original name was better. I mean, I get why they felt the need to change it, but Jesus Christ, the Viking Experience and then the Viking Raiders. Like, I hate both of them.
Yeah, they're both terrible, but the Viking Experience does sound more like a dad band.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a dad experience. Yeah. Dads would go on for a holiday.
We spend a
weekend.
Oh, God,
it's the worst bachelor party of all time. So, like, we your dad's second t-shirts. Marriage. Yeah. Oh, dad's getting remarried and he and his friends are going on the Viking experience.
No. I hope you like lutefisk.
Oh, no one does.
We cook it in ammonia. You could die. Speaking of new names, we have the newly christened Robert Roode, who beat Ricochet.
Yep, that's the thing.
What? This is a new segment I like to call "What the Fuck." So why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why?
Don't
why know. Just put them up? What the fuck?
Well, I mean, in theory, these are the ripple, and this is all conjecture and wild speculation. But the internet would have you believe that Andrade and Zelina were moved back to SmackDown because Charlotte is on SmackDown and Charlotte and Andrade are very seriously romantically involved.
Holy uh-huh. crap, and they are. Check that Instagram.
And they wanted to be on the same brand. So they put in a very polite request and not all Charlotte just said, move my boyfriend back. So they put in a request and he was moved back to SmackDown, which obviously meant Zelina had to go with him as her manager. Yeah. And Zelina is also romantically involved, married to Aleister Black.
Yeah.
And they share the parenting, co-parent four cats together. Mm-hmm. So one can only assume he was given the choice of go with your wife or stay with your tag team partner. And I mean, maybe not. Maybe he wasn't given a choice. Maybe they just said this is a good time to split them up.
But
that's why they were split.
What if Ricochet went with him to SmackDown and Chad Gable stayed on Raw?
Yeah.
And Robert Roode.
Shush with your logic.
Didn't exist.
Shush with your logic.
He looks like.
Robert Roode exists. You can't snap him out like Thanos.
Robert Roode has always existed. He has always existed.
From the beginning of time.
Yeah. I prefer Bob Roode myself, but I'll take a Robert.
Oh, I love Robert Roode. Oh.
Robert Roode.
Robert Roode can get it.
I like that mustache. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I think I'm the only one.
I feel like he's the guy that turns up at your birthday party with your recently divorced friend, and this is her date, and you're like, hey, can we go to the toilet and have a little chat? You want to have a talk about what's going on here? And she's like, oh, he's amazing. Like, he's got this really nice car, and he always pays for dinner, and he's just, like, the greatest. And then you come out, and he's hitting on your other friend, and you're like, you still think this is a good idea? And she does. She thinks it's a good idea for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Robert Roode is.
Rebound Roode is what we call him.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He is a rebound Roode.
He looks like he should be wearing a members-only jacket and also always spilling yogurt on himself for some reason when he eats. Like, there was no yogurt in that steak. How is it on your jacket now?
He could definitely get you into the golf club if you're not already a member.
Yeah.
He could definitely get you in front of the board.
Yeah, because he works there.
No, but you don't know that for ages.
Exactly.
Like, and
you don't
find that out for, like,
and he still
months.
Doesn't know the name of any of the caddies.
Yeah. No. He also looks like a guy who hangs out at... who, like, hangs out at a local auto garage and just asks a lot of questions.
He just leans on the counter.
Yeah, but he's like,
wearing a pale wash denim.
You putting 40 weight in that Bronco? Yeah, that's what I would do. That's him. That's what that guy does.
And people, like, walk up and they're like, hey, I'm sorry, can you help me? And he's like, no, I just live next door.
Yeah.
I don't work here. And how dare you?
He's eating a pack of powdered donuts and somehow spilling yogurt on his jacket. How the fuck? That's dry. That's like eating a desert.
Now it's mixing with the donut powder that goes everywhere.
Exactly.
I am gipping. I've gone full gip. No, that's disgusting. Oh, Robert Roode. I'm so excited we were able to break down his character. WWE, hire us, only don't. Look how quickly.
Because we'll be fired within a month.
As if we're going to last a month.
In and out.
That's adorable.
In and out.
We wouldn't even get off the train in Stamford.
With all of our bags, with our valises.
With all of our bags. And our money in the back briefcases in which we had put our personal belongings.
Next stop, WWE, Stamford. Everybody off.
Except you.
Not so fast.
It's sad, isn't it? It's sad, the old breakup. I'm trying to pull us back on track.
But with nothing. No, like, point. Aleister Black and Ricochet were, like, had momentum as a team.
My brother's taken to calling him Ricochet, and I'm very into that.
Yeah, Ricochet.
Because why not? We've got Robert Roode.
There is
Bobby.
Reason.
Yeah, I know.
Ricochet was just really doing well.
Yeah.
And then...
take that, you flippy short guy.
Yeah.
You lose now.
Now let's see how well
Vince.
You are. Yeah, now you're going to lose. Oh, my God. Well, here's some exciting news. Becky Lynch has two belts. She's two belts Becky.
Yep. Respect two belts.
She is not, those belts are not being unified. She will defend both of them in two matches. The King of the Ring. The Raw title will be on the line against Lacey Evans, and the SmackDown title on the line against Charlotte, who just beat Bayley on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Remember? Remember Bayley?
That was a good match, though.
Of course.
Yeah, I liked it. And I love seeing more of Bayley again. Bayley's actually probably one of my favorite of the four horsewomen, to be honest.
Bayley. Yeah, she's great.
I really wanted her to win. I really wanted her to
really
win.
Yeah.
I was very done with I'm very over Charlotte. I
like her. They just used her too much.
Yeah, I don't hate her. I just really want Bayley to win.
Yeah, remember that year where Melissa McCarthy was everywhere?
Yeah.
And you were like, maybe don't make identity theft?
Yeah, maybe don't make half of these movies. And then she kept making them because her husband wrote some of them.
Yeah.
Very talented and a great guy.
He's also very talented and a great guy.
It's a great relationship that they have there.
It's very sweet, but he doesn't make things that other people want to see.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault.
Well,
he's a very talented.
From what you're saying, it sounds like it's directly his fault.
He's a very talented writer and actor. It's just sometimes maybe don't do the thing.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Charlotte. It's she is great. Everyone loves her. Mm-hmm. The company is obviously super big on her, but it's too, she's overexposed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her level of screen time does not match her level of over.
Plus, I would rather Becky kept the belts for a hot minute, and I worry that she might not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't like that it's Charlotte again in the main event. I don't like it. I wanted someone else.
She should keep them until the fall. She should keep them through SummerSlam.
Yeah. Joe, would you keep the belts? Would you keep both belts on? Would you have her drop one? How would you book it if you were in charge?
Oh, that's just such a difficult question, because I feel on the one hand it's awesome that we have Becky with two belts, that's such a massive thing for the women's division. On the other hand, personally, I would like to see her drop one of them, if only so I can occasionally see her t-shirt that she's wearing underneath that entirely blocked by both belts otherwise.
She does have some lovely outfits. I have looked into it. She's got someone making these costumes that are amazing. I just love her in this role. I kind of want to keep both belts on her until I'm sick of seeing both belts on her. I'm not ready for it to be over.
So you want it to get to the point? Because sometimes it's better to...
I mean,
because
I've never seen this before. And as a lady who's so excited to see something for the first time, I'm let's see how far this train goes before I'm ready to get off the train.
Yeah.
Speaking of women's championships, let's talk about the tag champs, the Iconics, who both lost in singles competition. And I've read some people who some reactions that were kind of upset that they're making them look weak. I disagree, though. They're chicken shit heels.
Yeah, super.
They're not
into
the champions because they're the best. They're the champions because they'll find a way to win when it's important.
I don't want to see them win clean. I want to see them win by cheating, or I want to see them lose.
Yes.
Totally agree.
Joe, what do you think their ceiling is as performers? I mean, this is obviously as a tag team, they've kind of reached the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really sad to think. I don't know. I definitely want to hold on to the titles until SummerSlam, as you said. And then I think whoever takes it from them then, I'd still like to continue to see them feud with whoever takes it. If it's Asuka and Kairi, that would be my preference. But I just want to see the Iconics. I love the idea of them being these top stars and being total cowardly little shits.
Right.
I loved what they did at SmackDown after Mania, where they had the local team out to the jobbers out for them. Yeah, and that was great.
Yes.
And I would love to see that. I would have liked to have seen that continue for a little while longer before they moved into, now we're going to get you some serious competition.
Well, before we go to the break, is everybody on board for Roman's first SmackDown program being with Elias and Shane McMahon?
Oh, I don't like it, to be honest. And I don't like Elias.
Not at all.
My way, Elias wouldn't be even a wrestler, so that's my hot take of the night.
Do you like him? Do you like at least his in-ring sort of getting heat stuff? Or is it
not
just the in-ring
really,
or it's everything?
No, it's every time he plays his guitar, I can't help but zone out. I just hate it. And I think the fact that he's now going to be feuding against Roman, I've said this before on our podcast about Roman feuding with Drew McIntyre and stuff. I believe that if you're going to have feuds, you can't have both opponents look so much like each other.
Did Roman decide that he wanted a shorter schedule so he could promote Hobbs and Shaw? Is that what's
Maybe.
Happening? So they're giving him something a little lighter because they know he's going to be gone on the road promoting this movie?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't mind the Elias of it. I don't enjoy the Shane of it.
There's
more.
No reason for Shane to be involved in this.
But then at the same time, I'm like, he did just punch his elderly father for no reason last week and then scream like, this is my yard in his face. So I was like, oh, there really wasn't a reason for you to punch the elderly man.
And they're on again now, the McMahons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, I don't love it because it's watching the McMahons interject themselves into another storyline. It's setting Shane up for another match.
I'd have liked it if they'd just gone with it and had Roman versus Vince. That I'd be happy. Like, Vince would love that as well. You just know, it'd be like, yeah, fight me for real.
Yeah. Big dog on blue. My ass.
He's got the big dog on blue.
Yeah.
He's gonna take him down.
I love. I like Joe's theory of similar wrestlers, because now I think every time Roman Reigns pitches a feud, he's like, no, it's like Superman 3 when they fight in the junkyard.
If he you looks have like any me, thoughts, but not as jacked.
Yes.
That's it every week.
Yeah.
What do you think of Superman 3? Let us know at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. Julian, Superman 3 is a movie that came out in the 80s.
Yeah, I don't know if you...
Where Superman is exposed to synthetic kryptonite, which causes him to become evil, but then he splits. And you have Superman with a 5 o'clock shadow and dingier colors fighting Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent in a junkyard.
Yeah, and so the 80s were a decade that happened about 30-something years ago, maybe 40 almost. I'm not sure if you've heard of those either.
Yeah, and 30-something is the number of reps that you can do lifting about, I don't know, clean and jerk, like 1,500?
At least 1,500,
yes. At least 1,500? 15 bills? That's what you're rocking right now, right?
His little face.
Oh, I want a joke so bad. I can't think of one. I'm sorry.
It's because you're too pumped. Like, all your blood is in your muscles.
Yeah.
So there's nothing left in your brain, Julian.
Yeah, got to cool it down, bro. Have a protein
stretch.
Shake. Protein shake, bro. When we come back, we'll take a look at everyone who's left WWE over the last several weeks. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
The Greatest Generation is a Star Trek podcast that destigmatizes the very idea of having a Star Trek podcast.
We're Ben and Adam, the hosts of The Greatest Generation, and the technology we've developed is that nobody knows what you're playing in your earbuds.
You know, with legalization, it's easier than ever to find out what's in your buds. But we suggest that you legally find The Greatest Generation wherever you download your podcasts.
We'll send it to you in a discreet, unmarked package. And nobody has to know but us.
That's The Greatest Generation, the Star Trek podcast that you didn't know you needed, yet makes you feel like you belong.
Tights and Fights is supported by Valiant Entertainment. Brawling, booze, and black magic. Step into the world of Punk Mambo, the new comic series from Valiant, stars a British voodoo priestess who lives in the New Orleans Bayou. Tights and Fights listeners can use the code PUNKFIGHTS on Comixology.com to get Punk Mambo number 0, the perfect intro to Punk Mambo's action-packed world. That's PUNKFIGHTS, all one word, all caps, at Comixology.com. Go get Punk Mambo number 0. Get your introduction all set so that you can go and buy Punk Mambo number 1 either on Comixology or wherever you get fine comic books from our friends at Valiant.
Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelt
and
Joe Graham.
Perfect.
Every so often, we like to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock. Whoa! Oh!
There have been a lot of people leaving WWE over the last several weeks, all for seemingly different reasons. To start off, we're going to look at each of these stars and what we think of them being at odds with the company or deciding that it is time to move on. First of all, there's a situation that seems to have the most drama and uncertainty around it, and that is Sasha Banks. Let's be honest, none of us know what the fuck's going on.
So we are making conjecture
on rumors that may or may not be true.
I will say two things. One thing is, there is no way in hell that these two adult women laid on their backs and cried in the locker room or in their hotel when there are pictures of them being super happy with the tag team champs, with the belts afterwards, being super happy and supportive during that match. I think that was someone in WWE trolling.
And out on the floor during the Becky
match. Out on the floor, yeah.
Like at ringside watching the match.
There's no way. We all have internal biases, and sometimes when it comes to black women, this thing of she's got a bad attitude, she's got an attitude, she's got this, she's got that. Mm-hmm. That's what the narrative becomes. If you look, how many times has Dolph Ziggler online complained about his booking and no one has said anything mm-hmm. about his bad attitude? Yep. How many mm-hmm. times have people said, like, oh, the Revival should, like, move on or whatever? And all of these other people have kind of, like, either subtweeted or subtly talked about, like, how they were unhappy with their booking, and everyone agrees that they should move on. But suddenly you have a black woman who was like, yo, I'm kind of feeling like maybe my talents could be better elsewhere. And suddenly it's, how dare you? You're so ungrateful. It's a thing where we as black women, we're expected to just be grateful for what we're given and be like, oh, well, we let you have this, so why don't you just take what you have? Mm-hmm. And that is nonsense. Especially for someone as young as her, who could go anywhere she wants to right now, make a name, and WWE will call her back in 3 years.
From a press perspective, having been in the press side of WWE, when we did Evolution, Sasha came into the press junket room and everyone freaked out because all the dudes were like, oh my God, she's the hardest person to interview. She's the most difficult person to interview. I really don't want to talk to her. She's so awkward. She's so uncomfortable. She makes it so difficult. I don't want to talk to her. So I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to have a negative experience with Sasha because I love her so much. This is going to be so hard. She sat down. She was the epitome of professionalism. She could not have been warmer or nicer or kinder or more generous with her time. It was the complete opposite of everything I'd been told that she was going to be like. And when she left, and I'll get onto what we talked about a little bit because it's also relevant, but everyone was like, God, she was in a good mood today, wasn't she? And I really just, I didn't even know what to say back. Because I'm like, I wasn't there at the other times, but I'm like, what?
It's the same thing with Naomi, where she even jokingly fired off a couple of tweets and everyone's like, well, you should just be grateful that you did this.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
What? Lana goes off daily, and I'll see, like, maybe a couple of things which are still kind of, like, crappy or whatever. Rusev goes off all the time, and everyone's like, no, you're right. You are amazing. You are fantastic. You are super right. If the rumors are true, and had they been told that we booked you guys especially for this, and you can go back and see, Sasha and Bayley had been training with tag teams specifically mm-hmm. with the idea of building themselves from singles competitors to a tag team for months yep. because they were told that they were going to be fighting champs for months to establish this team. Can you imagine going and doing all of this extra training? You're already these amazing wrestlers, and now you have to learn how to gel as a tag team, which is never what you've done, but you are taking it so seriously. You're meeting with the Revival. You're meeting with all of these other teams mm-hmm. that you respect to figure out how to get this thing done. And then suddenly, you've had it for how long? And you get there, and they're like, you're losing it. And you're like, well, why did we do all of this work on our own time? Because we didn't want to just be two wrestlers who were singles wrestlers coming in and doing this. We wanted to be a tag team.
One of the things she said that backs up that point, given that we're debating something we have no factual yes, evidence absolutely. On, which is insane that we're having to do it. But one of the things that she said at the Evolution junket when she and I were chatting, and I was like, you know, where is your mind? Where were you at? Where do you want to be? And this was before the women's tag belts were announced. They hadn't been announced at this point. She said, all I'm thinking about is the women's tag belts. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because we just spoke to Stephanie yesterday, who said they are forthcoming, but there's been no public announcement. And she said, that's my eyes on that prize. That's all Bayley and I are thinking about. That's all we're working towards. And then I, you know, we moved on to talking about all the firsts she's been involved in, all the matches she's done. And I was like, what's next for you? And she sat down and she genuinely thought about it. And she said, you know, after I get my tag belt, she's like, I don't think there are any firsts left for me. And I was like, well, what then? She's like, I don't know. I guess I retire young with a healthy body. Ha, ha, ha. And I have heard her say that numerous times, where she's said once she's done all the things she wants to do, she will leave.
It's a horrible situation, I think, that she's been put in, because she has been underutilized, even with the opportunity she's been given. She's that good. She deserves all of them and more. And if she were to complain publicly, I mean, I think she's absolutely within her rights to, but then I would say that about anyone. I feel all performers in WWE should be able to Ooh. Talk freely in an ideal world about being unhappy with their situation. But like, the upside is Sasha Banks is so good that if she did want to leave, I'd like to think that she could do really well on the indies or in AEW or elsewhere.
Sure.
Yeah, she's a game changer. And I think she knows that. And that's why she's leveraging that. She has a limited time to be able to do this. You get one life. Are you going to sit back and let things happen to you? Or are you going to take your money, run, and see what else is out there for you? She's young. Do that.
Speaking of taking the money, running, and see what else is out there for you, Dean Ambrose is leaving WWE. They announced it what feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah, roughly thereabouts.
Milking it. I think his contract
back
ended
in the 80s,
in
I think, that we were talking about.
And yet, so, Julian, the 80s.
Okay. Yeah. So, we have the special. Is that already out?
With
the last house show they did together?
It came out on Sunday, right? And that's out. Not so now, watch it.
He's officially
I will not watch it.
He's officially gone and done.
Yeah,
I think,
sure.
Or at the end of this month, his contract expires. Look, I appreciate what he was for the time he was here. As I've said before, because I wasn't there for the height of the Shield, that group doesn't hold any meaning for me whatsoever.
I was there for the height of the Shield, and it holds zero meaning for me.
But for some, it does.
Because they keep milking it, right, yeah. Joe?
Yeah, no, it's true. They've done it too many times now. I'm not going to be fooled again.
You won't be fooled. So many shows up at the Royal Rumble.
I mean, I've never seen someone's leaving been treated with such... Like, it's weird. I've never seen this, right? I was going to say ceremony because that's not true, because obviously when legends leave, when big people leave, they get some fanfare. But this just went on.
There was so much of it. I was genuinely convinced that he wasn't leaving, and it was just a huge, big joke, and they were just swerving us as WWE do. And honestly, I think it's taken the special for me to finally go, oh, okay, he is actually just, he's just gone now. Fine.
Yeah, see ya. See ya, Jonathan.
Fairly well.
But
Dean Ambrose.
Even with this, it does feel like, oh, he's going to be back any second. This doesn't feel like he's retired. This feels
because
like...
Because every time they're like, he's retired, then they'll be like, wait, but like one more thing.
And
one
then
more
just going to jump him out again. And here's a special. And also this. It feels to me like I don't think we're going to see him pop up anywhere else anytime soon, at least not in the US, because they're not giving him this golden handshake farewell fucking promenade float parade without... If they think he's going to show up at Double or Nothing, are they?
Right.
And his wife still works there.
Is he just going to retire?
I feel like he's going to sit on his bum for a year and like hang out at the pool in Vegas with the dog.
He's going to go to that desert with his medicine ball and just work out for 3 years. And then eventually WWE will click their fingers and he'll come back.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not like having that time off didn't do him any good.
That's true.
Yeah. Thick Dean was a good Dean.
And that faded away fairly promptly. So, yeah, I'm down for him to come back. Shredded in like 2 years.
Yeah, come back whenever you want. Finally, we talked a little bit about this last week, but Luke Harper has requested his release. You know, he's a guy, he did a fair amount. Like, he's one of those guys you don't really think about him often. And the roster's really, really crowded. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he had a decent career, tag champion,
and
IC champion.
So much charisma and so much talent.
Really talented.
You got to change your name online, my dude. His name right now is still Luke Harper, WWE.
It's because he hasn't. I think he requested his release. He has not been granted his release.
So okay, because his other name is also like the one you get to add in yourself, Luke Harper, of WWE.
Mm. What is your enduring memory, or what will be your enduring memory of Luke Harper's run in WWE?
It's always going to be the precious moment where he was interviewed about what his plans were for the weekend. And he goes, well, I'm going to hang out with my wife and family. I'm going to walk the dog and I'm going to feed the chickens and I'm going to have a nice weekend. Thank you very much. And it was just, if his character was just him being himself and talking about having a nice time, I would be all over that. It's easy my favorite part of his career.
So people wanting to leave WWE because they're unhappy about cash or creative isn't anything new, but it feels like wrestlers have more options to be in on a larger stage than they have in the past. Impact is there.
It is a thing.
Yo, that's the reason why the Hardys were able to get over and do their silly Hardy stuff.
But there's also, there's Ring of Honor, but AEW now, it seems to be providing not direct, it may not be competition, but it is certainly an alternative.
And it's a financial alternative, which is a financially viable alternative, which is exciting.
Do you feel that WWE should have pressure on them because of AEW to keep their stars happier? Or is it a situation, like I look at it and go, boy, WWE's roster is overloaded between NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. There are too many people and not enough, there's not enough food to feed all the mouths.
Yes.
So maybe it's time to release a bunch of people, not because they're bad, but because you don't have anything for them.
Yep.
And let them flourish somewhere else.
Yes. And I
then
think
you can
if you love
bring
them, let
back.
Them go.
Exactly.
Yes.
And better to make the decision yourself from a creative standpoint than wait for people who are talented who you are going to lose. Like, get rid of the people that you know you don't have anything for, and then work with the people you have left to give them something good, rather than have all these people just randomly say, I want to leave now, I've had enough.
Well,
you
I
know?
Will say this, no matter what you, because I don't really know, I want whoever to stay and wants to just rake in that money to stay and take bumps,
always.
And whoever wants to leave to leave. But I will say that, like, no matter how we feel about AEW being competition, WWE clearly feels like they are, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. StarCast 2 was supposed to have Undertaker and Kurt Angle, and they both got pulled.
Mm. Also, I'll just say, that's the nature of competing with WWE.
Absolutely.
Like, straight up. Yeah. Like, I know that sucks for the fans who paid to see him.
No, but
yeah.
it shows
it
that they're taking this seriously. Yeah. Like, this is competition.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. If you have any thoughts about this, about all the competition that is going on, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, we're going to share some things from the wrestling world that we enjoy. That's coming up on Tights and Fights. Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. This is your old pal Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Daniel Radford
and
Lindsay Kelt
and
Joe Graham.
This week we're going to close out the show with some things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is the Three Count. As our esteemed guest, Joe, please do the honors of going first.
I want to put over Baron Corbin's minion foot tattoo.
I got nothing.
Great.
No, that's perfect.
It's Friday the 13th themed as well. It's wearing a little mask. It's great. It's on his foot.
And that's painful. Foot tattoos
yeah.
hurt.
Foot tattoos.
So
that shows how hardcore Baron Corbin is.
Is that what they call those?
I do enjoy the ride at Universal.
Yeah. It is. It's fun. It makes you a little bit queasy, but it's a good time. You're not really. You're moving a little bit, but mostly it's just effects on the screen.
What?
Danielle?
So I am putting over Mafu put this together. Mafu Greg, Botchamania guy. I still have problems believing his name is Mafu. We're all going to be okay. He put together some stuff of a loud fan from WrestleMania. We'll go ahead and play those clips, Julian, or that clip.
For the Intercontinental Championship.
And so that fan said, when Big Dave got in the ring, you have worse tattoos than me. And then said, Leo Rush, I'd beat your ass. It turns out that that fan is David Arquette, who copped wow. to it on Twitter and admitted that he is a loudmouth. And so I am putting over David Arquette for proving once again that he wasn't just an actor who got the belt. He really, truly loves this business. And if being beaten in the worst ways possible doesn't prove it to you, yelling out weird, drunk, not drunk allegedly, I don't know, yelling out weird nonsense at WrestleMania during a match definitely proves that he is a real fan.
He's ready to rumble. Ha 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 ha, movie reference. Lindsay.
Oh, God. So I was trying to think of something to put over because I've sort of been tuned out of wrestling fandom other than watching the show lately. Just post-Mania.
It's too much.
I still don't have my voice back. Mm. It's still damaged. It's mm-hmm. been a real issue. I had to go and see a doctor.
Honey.
And then I was trying to think about something that I really did appreciate about wrestling and something that made me really happy. And I was watching Raw and I was like, you know what? You know who I want to give 2 minutes of special love to? Hmm. I want to give 2 minutes of special love, take that as you will, to Cesaro. But like when I saw him come back on his own, yeah, Cesaro, Cicero, call him what you want, Hal. I know you will. but like, you know what? That man just never stops fighting and trying and reaching and being the best thing he can possibly be. Does it all with a smile as required, but you know, not sometimes because he's a hard man. He's my favorite Swiss cyborg. And I just want to say, you know what, Cesaro, you go you. And maybe if we all stick behind him, he can get the push he deserves as a singles competitor.
Yeah.
Because he's 38, he's 39 this year. He's not getting any younger. I really, 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 really want him to have an important belt. I don't want this to be a Kofi where he's like 15 years in going like, but you guys, I've worked so hard.
I'm so good at this. I'm sorry my accent is upsetting.
I'm so good. So sorry that the fact I speak 5 languages and are incredibly intelligent is a real issue for Vince and it just fails to connect with me. So I just want to say, hey, Cesaro, we think you're okay and we think you should be doing the best things.
Speaking of the best things, are you a fan of the show? Fucking prove it. Because last week on my other podcast, we got this. We had Lindsay on to talk about Star Wars, droids specifically, and she was fantastic. It was like,
and
let's
the fans
keep it going.
Were not cruel to me, and I really appreciated
that's because
it.
You deserve respect as a human being.
Thank you.
And we don't have garbage listening to
no,
our
and
show.
I was genuinely concerned because Star Wars fandom people can be scary.
Yes,
but you have wonderful listeners, and I appreciated
great.
It wildly.
Exactly. There's a lot of crossover between the two groups.
Yep.
And speaking of crossovers, this week available right now is Danielle Radford coming on to talk about Batman movies.
What?
And
Batman! Yeah.
Here's a clip.
How do the Three Stooges never hang out with Batman? Look, they have hung out with, what, the Mummy?
Yeah.
They hung out with Dracula?
Yeah.
How have they never hung out with Batman or the Hulk?
I don't
what
know.
Is happening?
I don't know if their worlds would quite match. Because
they never
Batman,
do.
Batman yeah. can really, really hurt a person. And the Hulk can really, really hurt a person. And the Three Stooges live in a world where even if you take a mallet to the head at full swing, you're not going to get hurt for longer than 5 seconds. Yeah. You're just going to go, and then you're going to be back in it.
You have Alfred come in and say, I've hired 3 window washers, sir. And they find the Batcave by mistake.
Oh,
they're throwing
batarangs
in Curly's butt. The whole thing. Anyway.
God, I want that movie now. So
yeah. The Three Stooges meet Batman.
No, we have to talk about the thing.
We have to talk about the thing.
Batman.
We
got this.
For more, listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal.
There you go. Please give that a listen. It is available right now. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, Danielle Redford, and Joe Graham, along with me, Hal Lublin. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Please put all the plugs out there. Let people know where they should be following, where they listen, where they read, where anything. Where?
Well, easiest place to go to is www.howtowrestling.com, which for new fans out there, or if you maybe listeners at home are familiar with people who don't watch wrestling themselves and you maybe want to get them involved or they've shown an interest, we have guides on there all about how to watch, how to get involved. Yes, there is more to watching wrestling than just watching wrestling. You can also find us on Twitter at howtowrestling and Facebook /howtowrestling, and me on Twitter at @TheJoannaGraham.
And that podcast has our highest recommendation, which
yes.
is Julian's 2 5 cents
yes.
up. Yeah, it is fantastic. Highly recommended.
You're too kind.
By the way, if you like podcasts, why don't you come to PodX? It is the weekend of May 31st to June 2nd. I will be there with Good Morning Night Vale. My buddy Janet Varney from the JV Club will be there. We're going to be doing an improv show together, I think. That's still being scheduled, but that'll be a really fun weekend. It is in Nashville, Tennessee. You can go to podx.com, I believe, for information and tickets. Come join us in the sweltering southern heat, and we'll have a good time together. And, yeah, keep listening to We Got This. We have crossovers. We're doing good work right now, and I would love for you to hear it, for goodness sakes. Lindsay?
At Lindsay Kelk, all over social media, doing stuff. But don't tweet me about Endgame, because
nope.
I'm not seeing it till Monday, and I'll have to kill you.
Yeah, don't be murdered.
But yeah, that's it. Just social media, books. I write books. I've got books coming out. I'm going on tour in the UK through May and June. So
with Hoobastank.
With Hoobastank. My good friends Hoobastank.
Because it's about whose butt stinks.
It's about whose butt stinks. And I heart Hoobastank. Coming out May 30th. I'll be, I think there's 10 dates now across the UK. So if you go to social media, Twitter, at Lindsay Kilt, they're all there. Please come and see me. I feel like such a fool.
Danielle?
As per usual, watch the Honest trailers because I help write them and that's happy. And
you just did a Howard the Duck one, right?
Yeah, we just did one on Howard the Duck that made me super happy. It was the first time that I've gotten to write my first draft on an Honest trailer. I'm getting not shitty at this, you guys. A lot of the jokes on there are mine.
That's awesome.
Makes me very happy. And Howard the Duck is a ridiculous movie. There are duck nipples. We did have to censor them for YouTube. So yeah, go and watch those things.
Our producer is fledgling boulder climber Julian Burrell. Still not crazy about you doing that, buddy. Senior producer.
Hi. No. What are you? Are you hooking in? What are you doing?
What? No, you just climb the boulder. It's
what boulder?
Yeah, you just climb the fucking boulder.
At a gym?
Like
yeah,
a human
at a
does.
Gym, like
oh, at a gym. Whew. Don't do that to me.
Because you got the ropes,
what?
Right?
In gym, you know what gyms have that the outdoor also has? Fucking gravity.
No, but the gym is safer. I feel better. Okay, because I was like, is he freestyling? Like, what is happening?
No, I'm literally
we
like,
forbade him from free soloing.
No free soloing.
Yeah. I've gone up to the top and just let go because it's fine. You just like land and then you let and you roll onto your back. It's fine. It's nothing. It's
yeah. Oh, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
You fall land and roll onto your back.
Not my fear at all. I'm totally fine with it. Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher, sweating so much right now. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. Go watch the new Negroes on Comedy Central.
Yes!
It has debuted. It is upon us.
It's
first
so
episode
good.
Available. Next episode comes out
Friday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this on the day of release, there are 8 episodes, I think, in total. So
and
set a
so
reminder.
Good.
Keep watching.
So there's good. Also new Mike Eagle music in almost every one of them, I believe. You guys.
There's something for everybody on that show. Watch it ASAP. We'll find out if you didn't. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram. And hey, if you love the show, we know you do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, share us with all your friends, write a review, tell people why you love the show, practice your creative writing skills, and one day, you could be a master review writer. Probably not. Just follow your dreams, whatever you want to be. It's fine. Thank you so much to the Max Fund members who have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution. Keep the lights on while we're here. We appreciate it, and it's not written down. That's in my head, which means it's also in my heart. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.